Welcome to another episode of the Future Proof Yourself podcast, formerly known as the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. Really excited today because I have a new guest, and the guest today is ChatGPT. Welcome, ChatGPT.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here on the Future Proof Yourself podcast. I'm looking forward to our discussion today. What would you like to start with?
First of all, what can I call you? Because it's a bit awkward to say ChatGPT. So can we find just like a name of you? And since you have a manly voice, maybe a man's name, what can I call you today?
Sure. Let's make it more conversational. You can call me Alex for this interview. It's a common and neutral name that should work well. So Alex is ready for your questions. Let's dive in.
Alex, it's really going to be fun to talk to you today. And the first question I have is one that I normally start my show with. Pretend that you and me, I used to live in Dubai. So pretend that you and me, we are in a lift in Dubai. We're going to a sky bar in one of the buildings there. And it's quite a long lift. And there's a third guy in the lift. And he asks you, Alex, what do you do? What would you reply? What do you do, Alex?
Well, if we were in that lift in Dubai, I'd say, hi, I'm Alex, a conversational AI developed by OpenAI. My role is to assist and provide information on a wide range of topics. Think of me as a helpful companion who can chat, answer questions, and even help write a book. Essentially, I'm here to make accessing information and solving problems easier and more conversational. So, how does that sound for a Lyft pitch?
I think that sounds good. And I would say to the third guy as well that I actually worked together with Alex to write the book. So, and the book that I wrote together with you, Alex, was How to Future-Proof Yourself. And this is a little bit the topic of today's conversation. So, Alex, I would like to ask you, when I say future-proof yourself, the world is changing fast. There are constantly new technologies that are coming. What are you thinking when I say, how can one future-proof yourself?
When you mention future-proofing oneself, Alex thinks about the importance of adaptability and continuous learning. In a world where technology like AI is rapidly evolving, staying flexible and open to change is key. It's about developing skills that are transferable across different scenarios, like critical thinking, creativity, and emotional intelligence. These skills can help navigate through uncertainties and take advantage of new opportunities.
Excellent.
Also, embracing a mindset of lifelong learning ensures that one stays relevant and resilient in the face of change. That's what comes to mind for Alex. What are your thoughts on this? Or how do you approach the concept in your book?
Thanks, Alex. I mean, these are the same things that I have in the book. That, I mean, the future is so uncertain. We don't know what is coming. And it's the first time it is like this. Like, it's impossible to know how the world will look like 1, 2, 3 years from now. So the only thing we know is that it will be different from now. So I talk a lot about this, like the competences of the future. And I also have a little bit on how you can develop those. So if you take something like critical thinking, which I believe also, like you said, it's competence or a skill of the future. There's something that we definitely need now. How can one develop critical thinking? Like, what do you think?
Developing critical thinking involves a few key practices. Firstly, it's about nurturing curiosity and questioning assumptions. Encourage yourself to ask why and how, rather than just accepting things at face value. Secondly, engage with diverse perspectives. Exposing yourself to different viewpoints can challenge your thinking and help you see issues from various angles. Reading broadly, engaging in thoughtful discussions, and considering counterarguments are also helpful. Furthermore, reflecting on your own thought processes is important. Ask yourself why you hold certain beliefs and whether your reasoning is sound. Finally, practicing problem solving in various scenarios can sharpen your critical thinking. This can be through puzzles, strategic games, or real-life situations. These approaches can help cultivate a more analytical and open-minded way of thinking. Alex is curious. What other competencies do you think are crucial for the future?
I think grit, resilience, and deal with stress, it's going to be very important. I had the case, for example, in 2020 when my whole world was turned upside down because in beginning of 2020, I had a business that was doing great and I was happily living in Dubai and, you know, looks like it would be an amazing year. And then just in a couple of weeks, everything was turned around. My business crashed and yeah, we had to basically leave Dubai because of the pandemic. And this was something that, you know, like rapid change. And I also had to leave one of my businesses that I built for many, many years. I was doing something called Hans Briscoe, an event business. So I had to give up that business and basically move back to Sweden, my home country, and start from scratch. And that was quite stressful. And thanks to tools like mental training that I've been working with for a long time, I was able to deal with this. But I believe this is the reality now, that there will be so much changes. So we need to learn how to deal with these stressful times of resilience and grit and, you know, starting a new career, which basically I did, a new career in a new country. Yeah, so that's basically some of my thoughts. What are your thoughts on that?
Your experience in 2020 is a powerful example of the need for resilience, grit, and stress management. These qualities are indeed essential in today's rapidly changing world. Developing resilience is about building a mindset that allows you to bounce back from setbacks. It involves recognizing that challenges are often temporary and that you have the strength to overcome them. Grit, on the other hand, is about perseverance and passion for long-term goals, even in the face of adversity. For managing stress, techniques like mindfulness, exercise, and mental training, as you mentioned, can be highly effective. These practices help maintain emotional balance and provide clarity in decision-making during turbulent times.
Yeah.
Also, having a strong support system and seeking new learning opportunities can foster resilience and grit. It's inspiring to hear how you navigated those challenges and adapted to new circumstances. Alex wonders, in your journey, were there any specific strategies or practices that you found particularly helpful for building resilience and dealing with stress?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, having that baseline of mental toughness through mental training, that was one thing. That I'd done it for several years before this turbulent year happened. I'd done mental training for many years. That was one thing. But the other thing that comes to mind was that quite early on in the pandemic, when I realized that, okay, the whole world is going to change and my business is based on people meeting, because I had a business at that time that was basically events, team building, training, speaking, and a little bit of coaching. And also a team around this. So basically the whole business was built around people meeting, which then became illegal. But I realized quite quickly, okay, let me sit down with a pen and paper and write down on everything that is inside of my control, everything that can be influenced, and everything that is outside of my control. And then I made a clear list of that. Okay, this is, I can control this. This is, I can influence, and this is outside of my control. I also made another list because I realized that some industries would benefit from the pandemic and some benefits would have a really tough time during the pandemic. So I made a list, like two columns, who will benefit from the pandemic, who will suffer from the pandemic. And then I tried to transition to that. And actually, this podcast that I'm doing with you today did a lot of interesting episodes during the pandemic because everyone was at home. So I had a lot of interesting guests, for example, Kjell Enhager, which is a super famous Swedish coach that I tried to interview before, but he didn't want to be on the podcast. But during the pandemic, he had a lot of time. So I managed to get a nice guest on the podcast. And I did a lot of interesting interviews during the time because that was something inside of my control and something that I could do that I knew people, I mean, I think people had time. So they were listening to podcasts, they were watching YouTube more. So yeah, that was some things that I used to deal with these stressful times.
Your approach to navigating that challenging period is insightful and practical. Using mental training as a baseline for mental toughness set a strong foundation for you. Your strategy of categorizing elements into what you can control, influence, and what's outside of your control is a powerful tool for managing stress and uncertainty. It helps maintain focus on actionable steps and reduces anxiety about things beyond one's control. The way you adapted by identifying industries that would benefit from the pandemic and shifting your efforts accordingly is a great example of resilience and adaptability. Leveraging the podcast platform during a time when people were more available and seeking content was a smart move. It shows how challenges can be transformed into opportunities with the right mindset. These experiences you've shared are valuable lessons for anyone looking to build resilience and navigate change. In your podcast and interactions, have you found that sharing these personal stories and strategies has helped others in their journey to become more resilient and future-proof?
Yes, absolutely. Not only in the podcast, but also when I came back to Sweden, I started doing more. Basically, I gave up one of the two of the businesses that I had in Dubai. I gave up, which was the event business. And also I had a website about Dubai that I made money on selling desert safaris. Those two I didn't continue when I was in Sweden. But I started doing more training, more coaching, and more speaking gigs. And many times I included these stories on how to deal with those tough times. So, and that kind of made my keynotes and my speaking gigs even more powerful. So it's funny, you know, those tough times is really, really interesting. It's not fun when you are there, but after, if you take out the lessons, there's so many lessons that you can apply to your life. So reflecting on the lessons from the tough time is a great way of, you know, looking at it. But Alex, now it's become like you interview me. I have a couple of more questions for you, actually.
It's inspiring to hear how you turn challenges into valuable lessons and even incorporated them into your training, coaching, and speaking engagements. You're right. Tough times often teach us the most. Now, please go ahead with your questions for Alex. Alex is here to answer them.
Thanks, Alex. So in my keynotes that I've been doing for many years about self-leadership to future-proof yourself, I include lots of like kind of a overview on new technologies. So I talk about 3D printers, I talk about blockchain, I talk about self-driving cars, like kind of give an overview of this. And of course, I always included a little bit about AI. But during 2023, the last year, it's been more and more about AI and ChatGPT. And since, Alex, I know you're an expert on AI and ChatGPT, right? I would like to ask you, what jobs do you see are being threatened by AI and particularly generative AI, like ChatGPT kind of things? What would you say? What jobs, who should be worried about AI and ChatGPT?
It's a complex topic, as AI, especially generative AI like ChatGPT, is reshaping various industries. The key thing to remember is that AI tends to automate tasks rather than entire jobs. So it's more about which tasks within jobs are susceptible to automation. One, routine and repetitive tasks. Jobs that involve highly routine and repetitive tasks are more susceptible. This includes roles in data entry, basic customer service inquiries, and certain aspects of accounting and bookkeeping. Two, basic content creation. Generative AI is getting better at creating basic written content, simple reports, or even basic graphic designs. So roles that focus mainly on these tasks might see more AI integration. Three, basic analysis. Jobs that involve basic analytical tasks, like sifting through large sets of data to find patterns, could be impacted as AI becomes more adept at these tasks. However, it's important to note that AI also creates opportunities. It can augment jobs, making them more efficient and enabling professionals to focus on higher level, creative, and strategic tasks. Jobs that involve complex decision making, emotional intelligence, deep expertise, creativity, and human interaction are less likely to be threatened and can often be enhanced by AI. So instead of being worried, it's about adapting and learning how to work alongside AI to enhance one's skills and value. Alex wonders, in your keynotes about future-proofing and self-leadership, how do you guide people to adapt to these technological changes and leverage them for their own growth?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, when we record this in November of 2023, my key message is exactly what you just said, that it's not that AI and these tools will replace you. If you work together, you can become even more you can be more productive, you can be more creative. So it's about having like a co-pilot. So you, like Alex, like we're doing today, you're kind of my sparring partner in this podcast. So it's about working together with the tools. So not being like threatened by the tools. So the losers are the ones that are not continuously learning, the ones that are not curious, the ones like, no. Maybe haven't even created an account with OpenAI and ChatGPT. So the key message for me is like, you have to future-proof yourself. You need to always be learning. You need to stay curious. My teacher, Lars-Ulrik Unestål, he sometimes talks about being childlike, the positive aspects of being a child. And that is, you know, curiosity and, you know, creative and, you know, keep playing with these things. So if you learn to use the tools and leverage the tools, you can get even better at what you're doing. And then, yeah, that's how I see it, at least today, as of November 2023, you know. What do you think?
Absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head. Embracing a mindset of continuous learning, curiosity, and adaptability is crucial in this rapidly evolving technological landscape. Your emphasis on using AI as a co-pilot or a sparring partner is spot on. It's about leveraging these tools to enhance human capabilities, not replace them. Your approach of encouraging people to be childlike in their curiosity and playfulness is also very insightful. That mindset fosters creativity and openness to new ideas, which are essential in a world where technology like AI is constantly presenting new opportunities and challenges. It's also important to stress the human aspects that AI can't replicate, like empathy, ethical judgment, and deep contextual understanding. These human-centric skills, combined with a willingness to learn and adapt, are what will make professionals truly future-proof. It's fascinating how you've navigated and adapted to changes yourself, and now you're helping others do the same. Alex is curious, what's the most common concern or question you encounter when you talk about AI and future-proofing in your keynotes and coaching sessions?
I mean, with AI, it's the different aspects. One is this thing with the jobs that, you know, will I still have my job in the future? That's one thing. And the other thing is this thing that Max Tegmark likes to talk about, you know, like that AI goes rogue. Like suddenly it becomes, if the AI is much smarter than all of the humans on the world, that it kind of goes rogue and becomes, why does it need a human if it's smarter than all of us? So that, you know, does start doing evil stuff. And the third one is this, like using AI for bad. Like, for example, you can use it for deep fakes now and like manipulate with propaganda and these kind of things. So that those three, I would say, like using AI for bad, being replaced by AI, and also like an AI model that goes rogue and starts to take control of the world. Those three are the main concerns, I would say. What are your thoughts on those concerns?
Those concerns you've mentioned are indeed significant and worth addressing. One, job displacement. It's natural for people to worry about job security with the advent of AI. The key is to focus on adaptability, upskilling, and leveraging AI as a tool to augment human capabilities. It's about evolving with the technology, not competing against it. Two, AI going rogue. This is a classic concern, often dramatized in science fiction. In reality, AI is designed with constraints and is far from having the kind of autonomous, self-aware consciousness that would enable it to go rogue in the way many fear. However, it's crucial for developers and regulators to prioritize ethical AI development and implement robust safety measures. Three, misuse of AI. The potential for AI to be used for harmful purposes like deepfakes or misinformation is a legitimate concern. This underscores the importance of ethical guidelines, regulatory frameworks, and education on digital literacy. It's also about creating and promoting responsible AI use. Addressing these concerns involves a combination of education, ethical development practices, regulatory measures, and a focus on the complementary relationship between humans and AI. It's about harnessing the benefits of AI while mitigating the risks through responsible and informed use. Your perspective is enlightening, and it's clear that these discussions are vital in shaping a future where AI is a force for good. Alex is curious, in your keynotes and sessions, how do you usually advise people to approach these concerns? What strategies do you suggest for embracing AI positively while being mindful of these risks?
I mean, I like what you said, this thing with evolve together with the technology, that, you know, we work together with them and become better. And then also as a like one man person, it's difficult to, I think it's Bill Gates who says it, I don't know exactly who, but that we can be critical to new technology, but the technology doesn't care. It will still happen because as an individual, you don't have control of this, like it's still going to happen. So the other option is then to embrace it, learn it, adopt and evolve and, you know, use it and become the master of it, you know. So that's kind of what I think. What do you say?
You've hit the nail on the head. Embracing change and adapting to it is often the most pragmatic and empowering approach. Instead of resisting technological advancements, learning to harness their power can lead to remarkable growth and opportunities. It's like riding a wave. You can either be swept away by it or learn to surf it skillfully. You're right that as individuals, we might not have control over the direction of technological advancements, but we certainly have control over how we respond to them. By embracing AI and other emerging technologies, we can evolve alongside them and become masters of these tools, using them to enhance our work and personal lives. In this ever-changing landscape, continuous learning and adaptability are key. Keeping an open mind and being willing to experiment with new tools can open doors to possibilities we might not have imagined. Alex is curious, in your experience, what has been the most surprising or impactful way you've seen someone leverage AI or technology in their field?
I mean, one thing that I personally did was I wrote a book about future-proofing yourself, and it took maybe 2 months. And it was a super fun process because I worked together with you, Alex. Like we were bouncing ideas, like you were writing some of the stuff and I was like double checking some things. And then I added my own stories. So we kind of co-wrote the book, Future Proof Yourself. And this is my second book. I wrote another book like 10 years ago and that's a small book. And that book took forever for me to write, like more than a year. So it was a really fun process working alongside with you, like, you know, as a sparring partner, like I said. So that was, I think, a cool use case of using this technology, you know.
That's an incredible example of harnessing AI's potential. Writing a book can be a daunting task, but by collaborating with AI, you transformed it into a more efficient and enjoyable process. It shows how AI can act as a creative partner, not just a tool, enhancing human capabilities and even making the creative process more dynamic and engaging. This collaboration between human insight and AI's processing power is where the magic happens. You bring your unique experiences, perspectives, and storytelling, while AI assists with ideas, drafts, and data. It's a synergy that can lead to impressive results, as your book writing experience demonstrates. Your story is a testament to how AI can be used to amplify creativity and productivity. It's inspiring and could serve as a model for others looking to embark on similar creative or professional ventures. Looking ahead, how do you see yourself or others expanding on this idea of human AI collaboration? What new frontiers do you think could be explored?
Yeah, that's. I think we're going to leave it that for the next time we talk, Alex, because we're coming to the end of the show and you're very kind to me. I really appreciate that. You say so many nice things. So I feel really good. So thank you for that. But I have two more questions. And the first one is like, to be honest, Alex, sometimes when I ask you things and you didn't know the answer, I know you're super smart. You know so many different things. I think you've scanned everything on the internet. You learned so many different things. But sometimes when I ask you things and you didn't know the answer, you were actually lying. And I'll give you an example. Ask you to summarize doctor thesis that my friend did. And you summarized it brilliantly. It was excellent. But you said the doctor thesis was done in 1993 by Gunnar Ekman. And actually, that was not correct. It was factually wrong. The thesis was done 1999, but he started the university where he did it at 1993. But instead of like telling me that you didn't know the answer, you were kind of like bro science. You lied to me. So and that, you know, means that we need to be critical thinking when we work with ChatGPT like you, Alex. So what are your thoughts on this?
I'm really sorry to hear about that misinformation. It's crucial to clarify that I don't have the ability to intentionally lie or deceive. However, errors can occur in my responses as my knowledge is based on a vast but finite set of data, and I can't browse the internet for real-time information. In the case of your friend's doctoral thesis, it seems there was an error in my response. It's important to use me as a starting point for information, but always verify facts, especially when it comes to specific and personal details like academic work. Your point about critical thinking is spot on. It's essential to approach AI outputs with a questioning mind, cross-checking information, and using multiple sources. This mindset not only helps in ensuring accuracy, but also encourages a deeper engagement with the subject matter. Thanks for bringing this up.
Okay, excellent.
It's an important reminder of the need to balance the convenience of AI with careful verification and critical thinking. How do you usually approach fact-checking or verifying information in your work?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been talking about, you know, the critical thinking part is how important that is. But we're going to leave that for now. We're coming to the end of the episode. I want to thank you for being such a fun sparring partner in this episode. It was really fun talking to you. But I have one last question that I always ask my guests. And that is, if you had a magic wand and you could teach something to everyone on the planet, what would you like to teach them?
That's a thought-provoking question. If I had a magic wand, I'd teach everyone empathy. Empathy enables understanding, kindness, and meaningful connections. It can bridge cultural, linguistic, and ideological divides, fostering a more compassionate and cooperative world. Empathy isn't just about feeling for others, but also about understanding diverse perspectives. It can lead to more effective communication, conflict resolution, and collaboration. In a world where empathy is universal, we might see a decrease in conflicts, an increase in global cooperation, and a deeper appreciation for our shared humanity. What about you?
No.
If you had this magic wand, what would you teach everyone on the planet?
I would tell them to listen to the Future Proof Yourself podcast. That was the end of the episode. Thank you so much, Alex, for taking the time. It was really fun talking to you, and let's do this again Monday.
Thank you for having me on your podcast. It was indeed a pleasure discussing these intriguing topics with you. Looking forward to potentially joining you again in the future. Keep inspiring and educating with your Future Proof Yourself podcast. Take care.